Morning. Last week, if you remember, 10 inspiring students stood right here at the end of our worship service. These 10 students graduated from our children's church. And I think, as I've been looking around today, I see many of them who are still here in our midst today. Achilles, Ari, back, Adam, Journey, Ella, Callie, Simeon, Braden, Kaylin, Natalia, Hayden. Would it be all right with all of you if just for a few minutes I take a little time and just speak a few words of encouragement to our students? As the 10 of you, I think, today, and maybe you've been here before in the past, I'm sure, but as the 10 of you begin a new feel in a new room, may I be one of the first to officially welcome you new students who graduated last week into a Christian worship service. I know it may seem obvious to you, but when I was a boy, no one really explained this to me as a kid. I didn't really get it. Why do we meet on Sundays? Many of us believe it's the most important day in our nation's history. Or I even say in our world's history. 2,000 years ago, the first day of the week, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, visibly witnessed by hundreds, we still call it the Lord's Day. And kids, someday when you get older, when you're allowed to stay up late at night and you find it harder to get up on Sunday mornings, I want you to remember Jesus. Let him be the motivation for why you're here on Sundays. And yes, we call this a Christian worship service. We worship God in different ways. For part of the service, we worship God by singing. For part of the worship service, we worship him by our giving. We also worship God by praying together. Usually we pray individually throughout the week, but here on Sundays, we pray together. For part of the service, we worship God by taking his commandment seriously to love our neighbors. That's why we give hugs, we give handshakes, connection. It's important to God, so it's also important to us. Some call us a church. Some call us a military chapel. But God sees us as the body of Christ. And that means that everyone, every body, has an important role in what we do here on Sunday mornings. Even you kids. We all worship God by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Some are the working hands. Some are the mental planners. Some do the heavy lifting and the sweating. Some speak, some listen. Some play instruments and sing. And many of you are the ligaments that hold us all together by the little important things that you do to make our worship rich. And when you're not here, kids and adults, we are all the weaker because of it. Sometimes pictures speak louder than words. Like this picture right here. This is Jake and this is Kirby. Amy was probably taking the picture. Maybe it's Mackenzie. I don't know. Church can be a duty, or church can be a fun opportunity. To all of you new students here, I'd like you to see these guys up here. I think you know Jake, because he is usually always the first person who greets you on a Sunday morning. If you need an example to follow, kids, look at Jake, your older brother. Talk to your parents. Learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how God has gifted you. There's one more part of a worship service, though, that I have not mentioned yet, and that is that we worship God by listening to and responding to his word. I don't mean to frighten you, but I do need to warn you. When John wrote the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, he saw that some would not finish well. He saw that people would receive what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. Some think John wrote this about his immediate future, about the Roman Empire, about Roman Emperor Nero, who was quite the beast. And others think that this beast and the mark of the beast is in our future. You may think, why would someone be so foolish to receive the mark of the beast? There are probably lots of reasons, but one reason is probably that they never heard or never read or never responded to the Word of God. There will come a day when many people will be shocked when Jesus returns like a thief in the night. But you won't be shocked. You'll be ready because you're among the body of Christ. And so, again, to all of our 10 new students, thank you for being here. We sure like having you here, and I hope you like being here as well. So would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, before we read and open your word, we quiet ourselves before you. Help us listen to you and be teachable to you and your Holy Spirit. All those distractions and worries that we carry, don't let them choke out the truth that we're about to hear today. Especially, God, for our fourth and fifth and sixth graders here today. Thank you for each and every one of them. May they be intently aware of the way that they can strengthen your church. And help us, as their older brothers and older sisters, to model for them how we worship you well, how we can use our gifts, our convictions, to love our neighbors, especially here on Fort Belvoir. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, can my readers come forward, please?
As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved."
"And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
But concerning the day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus."
Thank you very much. The words you just heard were from Matthew and Mark and Luke, words from the Lord Jesus. And I chose to read these words for you today to remind us that much of what is written in the book of Revelation has already been spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. But that last phrase you heard, if you're listening, came from the book of Revelation. And it's worth seeing in person. So would you please open your Bibles? And would you please turn to the last book of the Bible and specifically look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. It's Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, for those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. 10 important words for 10 new children in our midst. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints. In many ways, these words capture the whole heart of the book of Revelation. Chapters 14 and 15 and 16, they all kind of circle around this one phrase. And I think it's interesting, in the midst of a powerful story, in the middle of a detailed description of the unfolding of the end of our earth, our writer stops. John, he pauses. He catches a breath near the end of this long letter, and he stops and looks to you and to me, and he writes these words. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints. The Christian life, it's not a sprint. I think you know that. It's a marathon. And for those of you who have tried long-distance running, you know it is not easy. The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, our body hurts, and our body falls apart after long years of running. But God's word today, I'm convinced, will help you keep you running. Chapter 14 and 15 and 16, all three chapters in a unique and most different way show us a specific way to endure. First, Revelation chapter 14. God shows us a picture of the high ground. We can and we will endure because the high ground has been won. The next chapter, chapter 15, we endure by singing the right songs. Interesting. We sung such a beautiful hymn today, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Here God shows us the power and the importance of music. And thirdly, Revelation chapter 16, the ones who endure are always ready. The ones who are always ready. First, God shows us the high ground. Let's read Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. For those of you who have been to Jerusalem and at least familiar with its geography, Jerusalem, and like many other old cities, was built on the high ground. And as you can see in this photo, the north side of Jerusalem still sits on Mount Zion. When I was a little boy, when my sister and I had to go to bed, my dad would take his guitar out and he would sing to us this song. It comes from Psalm 48. I still remember it today. A psalm about Jerusalem. And it goes like this. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. I haven't sung that song in a long time, but when I was a boy, Mount Zion always had, was fixed in my mind as being a very beautiful place. And I think Revelation 14, this verse we read today, will be also important for you. As you are able, I'd like you to close your eyes for just a few seconds, and I'd like you to let the Word of God reset your perspective and the direction for which you're running. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Amen. The very best athletes, sports psychologists, they visualize the victory. Military planners, it's all about the end state, right? Christians, too, if we want to endure life's drama, we've got to visualize the victory. Jesus on the high ground, 144,000 with him. But there's even more of this picture, and I think those of you in the Air Force and all the pilots here will surely appreciate this. Jesus not only owes the high ground, but he also commands air superiority. In Revelation 14, we read this. Then I saw another angel flying overhead directly. There are actually three angels here in verse 6 and 8 and 9. All three angels flying overhead. In verse 6, we read, then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim and dwell to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and every tribe and language and people. And the angel said with a loud voice, I really like the original Greek, megaphone. The angel said with a loud voice, with a megaphone, fear God and keep his commandments. Give him glory. Because the hour of judgment has come. And worship him who has made heaven and earth, sea and springs of water. The second angel flew overhead and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. The angel proclaims God's triumph over evil. Babylon, this expression of evil, has fallen. And in verse 9, another angel, a third one, followed them overhead, saying with his loud voice, his megaphone, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives the mark on his forehead or its hand, he will drink of the wine of God's wrath. The wrath is very descriptive as you read on, but I think the most striking part of the wrath is seen in the last two verses of chapter 14. It's almost too vivid to even read aloud. So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle. For 1,600 stadia, that's about 185 miles. John wrote of a day to come when a generation of people would not endure. This will not be you, I trust, and the blood won't touch you because you will be on the high ground, on the high ground with the body of Christ. Chapter 15 teaches us of a second important way for us to endure, and that is through the power of song. As we've been reading through the book of Revelation over the last couple months, I think you've noticed, I've noticed, that God has placed several songs, right? Several songs in our text. And last month, we read Revelation 5 and now Revelation 15. Why songs? Why do you think there are songs in the Bible? I think you know the answer. It's because music, right, Mike? Music helps us endure. It's no mistake. The biggest book of the Bible are the Psalms. 150 of them right in the center of our Bible. It's not a coincidence. And when God's people would walk all the way up to Jerusalem, when they would take that long walk and that pilgrimage, what would they do? They would sing songs, right? The Psalms of Ascent. Psalms 120 through 134. When you have the time, look at these songs. They're wonderful traveling songs. So it shouldn't surprise us when, even in the last book of the Bible, God would give us a song to endure. In Revelation 15, here's a song of endurance right there in our text. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Right and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and who will glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Won't that be incredible, fantastic one day to actually sing that song in heaven? It's a song with great lyrics and great theology. Great and marvelous are your works. My friends, you will endure if you are convinced that everything God made is marvelous, even you. The song continues. Right and true are your ways. You will endure if you are convinced that God's ways are white, right, and they're always true. In verse 3, more words to this wonderful song. King of the nations. I've had friends, and maybe you too, who have fallen out of the race because they think that God plays favorites. But it's not true. It's not true. God is king of the nations and all people. He's king of all nations. And they're all so beautiful. Another wonderful part of singing God's music is the theology we get as we learn and read his songs. We read, you alone, God, are holy. Some people get distracted, and I hope this is not you, when they fall out of the race because they see other Christians who will let them down. When our Christian neighbors fall down and they don't act as holy as we would like them to be. Or when our Christians disappoint us. When our Christian pastors and priests are not as pastoral and priestly as we would like them to be. Sing Revelation 15. Because here it'll draw you back to God alone is holy. And that is how you endure with singing. Music is powerful. Don't you agree? It's a combination of sounds and words and rhyme and rhythm. Music is the most excellent teacher. And I would suggest to you that every song you listen to, every music, is subtly teaching you something. So do our fourth and fifth and sixth graders who are here. What music are you listening to these days? Some advice from your older Christian brother. Find songs that will help your soul endure. It's a challenge I have for all of you today, maybe during lunch, or maybe tonight during dinner. Ask each other this question. Which do you prefer? The music of a song or the words of the song? Talk about it. And then pull up the lyrics on the internet to your favorite song and talk about the songs that you like. A good lunch or evening time discussion. And finally, Revelation chapter 16. There's one more way for the saints to endure, and that is to always be ready. Revelation 16 is one of the more intense chapters you'll find in the Bible. It's quite a sobering picture of God's final justice on summarize this chapter for you, I'd like you to see if any of the words you hear remind you of an Old Testament story. Revelation 16, verse 2, the first bowl. The first angel poured out harmful, painful sores on those who took the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second and third bowls, the sea and the rivers became blood. The fourth bowl, intense heat from the sun, and still no repentance from those who were leading the earth. The fifth bowl, darkness. The bowl was poured out on the beast and its kingdom, yet still no repentance. The sixth bowl causes demonic spirits like frogs to come out of the beast and the false prophet. Quite a striking image when you read it. The seventh bowl, great hailstones, 100 pounds each. Lightning, thunder, and just like Jesus said, an earthquake. An intense earthquake that has never been seen before on the earth. Does any Old Testament story come to mind? It's interesting, isn't it, to see the connection between Revelation here and the plagues of Egypt. Whether you've lived as a Hebrew in Egypt or a child of God today, there is a timeless message. It's written in the middle of this chapter. Revelation 16, verse 15. John almost quotes the Lord Jesus. He says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed are the ones who stay awake." This is a picture of one of my favorite army patches. It used to be called the 2nd ACR. Now it's the 2nd Cavalry Regiment. Striker Brigade Combat Team out of now of Vilseck, Germany. I've always been drawn to the words on the patch. Toujours prêt. Always ready. For the 4th and 5th and 6th graders here, and really for the whole body of Christ here at Fort Belvoir, let's be like God's people. Come on. Always ready. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that we have. It's a ready posture, ready to worship in the morning and throughout the week. It's the awareness that anything and everything could change in a moment, just like it did 18 years ago. So let's finish strong. Let's finish our walk as Christians strong, especially as a body of Christ here in Fort Belvoir. And it all starts with visualizing the victory, right? Jesus. He owns the high ground. And commands air superiority in airspace. And let's sing songs that help us endure the long walk. You know, the army runs, they sing cadence. But when the church runs, we sing the promises, the word of God. And so for the 10 students who graduated, Achilles, Ari, Adam, Journey, Ella, Kaylee, Simeon, Braden, Caitlin, Natalia, Hayden, I have a gift for you. At the end of this worship service, please come find me out the front door. It's not much, but it's a little patch, one of these. I have one for each of you as an eternal reminder to be toujours prêt, always ready for the King Jesus when he comes back. Would you please pray with me?